Hello, it's Stephen Vincent, and welcome to this edition of the Freedom Message. And we've got a great show for you today. I'm going to have as guest Mr. Tom Moore, who is with a band that actually wrote some Ron Paul music, under the pseudonym of Midnight Ride. And we're going to play that song for you coming up soon. And Tom is from Boston, my old stomping grounds, and they are in Boston putting together the new Boston Tea Party, and we're going to hear all about it. I'll also be filling you in on the Santa Monica Tea Party, so it's going to be Tea Party from sea to shining sea on December 16th. So more news about that. First, we're going to go and have a look at what happened on The View this morning. Ron Paul did appear on The View, and we'll play that and then talk about that a little bit. Coming right at you, Ron Paul on The View.
Before coming up live on The View, then he's the Republican presidential candidate that even has some of the Democrats on his side. Then he's the Republican presidential. Ron Paul is joining the ladies for a debate of their own.
Ron Paul is coming on. For those of you who don't know who he is running for president.
Yes.
And he is running for president on the Republican ticket.
Right.
Now, not everybody knows him because he's not a front runner like Giuliani and Mr. Coiffure Romney.
You like Ron Paul.
Ron Paul is basically, he considers himself a libertarian. But the main thing I like about him is that he wants out of Iraq, and he hates the Bush administration's policy in the war. So I like that about him. And a lot of people are, focusing
right,
on him.
Right.
However, he has other things that he says, like he's not pro-choice, for instance, which I'm going to ask him about.
Okay.
And he happens to have been a gynecologist in another life. And it's odd that he would be not pro-choice. So I have questions for the guy, you know. He also doesn't believe that government should interfere in personal lives. Well,
right.
Then how come you're not pro-choice? I mean, I don't want the government in my uterus, okay?
Did you say he was
for a lot of years.
I mean,
picture this man while you're in stirrups. There he is.
Deliver my baby.
But my gynecologist never had an American flag behind him, did you?
who was that doctor way back in the 70s?
Dr. Welby.
So, but where does the homeschooling come in?
He's a big advocate of, his nickname is Dr. No, because he's like, no big government, no Department of Education,
right.
No
UN.
No IRS.
No IRS. He doesn't want any income tax. Candidate that even has some of the Democrats on his side. And as we've said before, and this is shocking, he's a gynecologist too. He's two treats in one. No wonder he's my favorite Republican, because, he could be the president. So please welcome 10-term Texas congressman / gynecologist, Ron Paul.
Good to see everybody.
I have to hit you with my first question because we discussed it in the Hot Topics. I've read all of your stuff, and I know that you want limited government. Get government out of my life, right?
Good idea.
What about Roe v. Wade? I don't want the government telling me what to do with my body. How do you justify that?
I think the question is whether a baby that is unborn, that weighs 8 pounds, 7th or 8th month of gestation, has any rights. Is it a person?
But what about the first month, when you usually get an abortion?
You're not for all abortion.
I don't know. It would have to come up in the specific case.
Send a line, so you don't want me to do an abortion on somebody that has an 8-pound normal baby?
No, of course not.
Okay,
but
not for abortion, really.
No, wait a minute. But if the woman wants to abort a baby at 8 months, something's wrong, either with her mental state or her health.
The law says they can do that.
Yeah, but the law should...
If it's her body. Why can't she do it?
Be between the doctor and the woman?
That's not exactly true.
There is a limit as to when you can have an abortion. I believe that's the truth.
All the way through the third trimester.
I don't think so anymore.
Right.
Yeah,
that's right. Roe versus Wade allows it in the third trimester. It dictates to the doctor what he can do in the first trimester, second trimester, and third trimester. Mm-hmm. So it is the law of the land.
So are you not against just, you like Roe v. Wade except up to a point? Is that
what you're saying? No, I don't like the federal government doing anything.
Okay.
So I want the states to deal with it.
Oh, but what's the, if you're against abortion, what's the difference who's doing it, the states or the government?
Well, there's a big difference because the Constitution doesn't give them. The states don't deal with murder and violence.
Okay,
and
so it's not a moral position; it's more of a political position.
It's a legal position.
It's a legal position.
Because I honor and respect the rights of the mother, but your home too. Your home is your castle. I don't want any government in your home.
Right.
No searches without warrants.
Right. Of course.
No cameras. Mm-hmm. But you can't kill your baby in your home.
Well, no, but that's murder. That's different.
Okay, but somebody sees this. I have, as a physician, I've been trained to bring life into the world. Mm-hmm. And if I do harm to the baby, I get sued. So the baby is alive and has what rights?
Well, let me ask you this.
That's such an unusual situation. We're talking about girls who are in trouble and they want to have an abortion in the first
month. Would you be happy with a law that says abortion should be done no later than at 6 weeks gestation?
Look, I'm not happy with abortion, period. Nobody is, but that's not the point.
But here's my question. If you make a decision that this is where you need to go, because as I said to somebody else earlier on this show, no one makes this decision lightly. This is not something somebody says, I think I'll go get this. This is not a fun thing to go do.
Yeah.
So if someone has come to that place to make that decision, it's because they really feel like it needs to be there. Now, I think you should be able to get some help if you're reaching out for somebody like that. What bothers me is that there is no one who says, here's what we can do, because, you know, you have all these children. What are we going to do with them? If everybody has the kids, nobody in the churches don't want to take them. Nobody wants to put them in the thing. No, I'm going to finish the thing, period.
The question is whether abortion should be done on demand and who controls it. What you're saying is a very difficult problem that we can deal with. And the more difficult a problem that we have, the more you want to be held locally. Before Roe versus Wade, before it was legalized across the board on demand, states did. I saw it happening. Abortions were done on rare circumstances. And it was done with caution. There was a recognition. There was a recognition that life was valuable. Mm-hmm. And I don't think anybody's going to win this. You're not even for abortion for anybody every time a minute before birth. You don't want to abort these normal babies.
That's murder.
At the same time, I don't think we'll ever reach a stage where there will be no abortions.
I want
to sort this out the way
I'd
the
like
Constitution mandates, and that is at the local
level.
At the local level, you get girls from California or some other state where they can't do it. They have to drive from Arkansas to Timbuktu. If it's left to the state level.
That's true.
They've got to be pretty rich.
But we might not have any partial birth abortions, of normal babies.
Right, that's only one subject that we can get with you.
The other subject I wanted to ask about was your views on immigration. You said that you had a plan for immigration. You wanted to secure our borders.
I think our problem of immigration comes from the fact that we have a weak economy and immigrants are scapegoats. And if we had a healthy economy and we weren't worrying about our jobs and we weren't worrying about the downturn of our economy, I think immigration wouldn't be nearly as problem as this. But I don't want to reward people who break the law. So I'm not for amnesty. I want people to come here legally. But if we had a healthy economy, I think the immigrants would be much more welcome. But because we reward it and we put pressure on our states, our hospitals are literally closing in Texas because they can't afford the free health care and the free education. So I want to remove the incentives.
Let me ask you this. So now, if you become president, what's your stance on China? How are you going to balance that out? Because this is a big old issue. And one of the things I've not heard anybody say is, here are the issues with China. This is what I'm going to do to make sure that the things that have been happening are not going to happen again. And the other part of this question is, if you feel so strongly about immigration, how are you going to get all these big companies in this country to stop shipping all the jobs across the water to other places, and so people can get their jobs back and stop blaming it on the illegal immigrants?
Okay.
I I would treat China like every other country. I want to be friends with country. I don't want to intimidate them. I don't want to put sanction on them. I want to not fight with them, and I want to trade with them. But the China probably is a consequence of a lot of our failed economic problems here. Our jobs leave because we overtax and we overregulate, and also it's a currency problem. We've been able to print money and export our money. Why work for a living? Why have production here at home if the world's still accepting our dollars? So why not just buy our stuff from overseas? That's part of the problem, except that's changing because the dollar's going down, and that is one of the most serious threats we're facing today in our economy, is the weakness of our dollar.
Is there another Republican? Now, you probably are not going to win, and you know that, right?
No, I don't know that.
I don't mean to be negative. I'm sorry, because it's very hard. You've got front runners all over the place.
Is pro-war people to win?
No, I don't. That's why I like you. My question is there any other person running that you would vote for if you were not running yourself?
It would be difficult.
A gun to your head, who is it going to be?
You mean in the Republican primary?
Both.
No.
Both.
Right now, if they come around endorsing my anti-war views and pro-free markets and sound money, yeah, I would consider it, but I don't have anybody now that I could vote for.
Nobody yet.
I'll have to keep talking to them.
Congressman Paul, thank you so much. We wish we could have more time with you because we got so many questions, and we just thank you so much.
Okay. So, you know, I didn't like that the first time I watched it about 15 minutes ago, but you know, it's a little bit better the second time around. You know, I just not sure that I would watch The View on a regular basis. I don't have a television, and wasn't terribly impressed with the ladies on the show. A little bit odd that they wanted to focus on the gyno kind of angle there. It's just a little bit, I don't know, it just seems a little bit disrespectful to me. Didn't really feel comfortable with that. You know, I guess, in my opinion, it wasn't the world's best Ron Paul appearance ever. It just not so much to do with him, but just the way the whole thing kind of came off. I guess it's some decent exposure, but don't see this as a major triumph for Dr. Paul or the campaign. You know, they focused a whole lot, I would say three-quarters of the interview, on the abortion choice issue. And my comment on that is this, that Dr. Paul's position is pro-choice, is what I would call true choice. You know, what we're really talking about when we say pro-choice is my choice. Is what I want to impose on the entire country, the choice of making abortion entirely legal throughout the entire country. And so it's really anti-choice because it takes away the option of making abortion illegal where appropriate and where chosen by a state or a local community. Ron Paul's position is true choice and pro-choice because he allows local communities and states to actually literally choose. Now, I have seen no reason whatsoever that a community in rural Arkansas, just to pull something out of a hat, shouldn't be able to make a different decision about abortion from a community, say, like Los Angeles. You know, if people have different feelings and beliefs about it, then they should be able to choose laws on their local level that reflect those true beliefs and true feelings of the community. That's true choice. So it came out somewhat, Dr. Paul, in amidst all the chattering going on, you know, tried to make that point several times. I don't think it really landed very squarely, but he did certainly try to bring that out. You know, of course, they mentioned several times that even the Democrats like him. I'm not sure how much that really helps us in a Republican primary. So overall, you know, not a bad interview, but I don't think it was anything really great for the campaign, and nothing to do with Dr. Paul. I just the format and the ladies and the questions they asked and the way they asked them and the way the time was consumed just didn't overall go all that well. We had something on the 2nd, Ron Paul on Late Edition with Wolf Blitzer, my favorite CNN commentator. You know, lately Wolfie has been a little bit more congenial towards Dr. Paul, and he is smiling a lot more, but you know what? There are sharp teeth behind that smile. Don't trust him. So let's see what Wolfie had to do with Dr. Paul a few days ago.
Republican presidential candidate Ron Paul is trailing in the national and state polls, but that certainly isn't stopping his underdog campaign from raising a hugely impressive amount of money or tempering the enthusiasm of his supporters. I spoke with Congressman Ron Paul just a short while ago. He joined me from the campaign trail in New Hampshire. Congressman Paul, thanks very much for coming in. Welcome back to Late Edition.
Thank you. Nice to be with you again.
Let's talk about the CNN YouTube debate. There was a comment that John McCain made about some of your strategies with a really, really dire assessment. I want to play this little clip of what he said. Listen to this.
Congressman Paul, I've heard him now in many debates talking about bringing our troops home and about the war in Iraq and how it's failed. And I want to tell you that that kind of isolationism, sir, is what caused World War II. We allowed Hitler to come to power with that kind of attitude of isolationism and appeasement.
You were shaking your head as you heard the final words, but the comparison to Hitler and appeasement and isolationism, you had a chance to respond, but I want you to elaborate this morning.
Well, first off, Iraq is not Nazi Germany, and besides, I thought it was Hitler that caused World War II, not the American people who opposed going in. So it didn't make any sense, and then he was awfully confused about isolationism versus non-intervention. There's a big difference. Isolationism isn't what I advocate. I advocate non-intervention, not getting involved in the internal affairs of other nations and not pretending a country like Iraq is equivalent to Nazi Germany. Iraq had no army, no navy, and no weapons of mass destruction, had nothing to do with 9/11, so the comparison makes no sense.
Under what circumstances, if you were president, Congressman Paul, would you intervene outside the borders of the United States in some sort of crisis around the world?
Well, when Congress directed me to in an act of war, if our national security was threatened and we went through the proper procedures, Congress would say our national security is involved, it's threatened, and we have to act, and Congress has that responsibility. The president is the commander-in-chief, and then he acts.
I guess the bigger point that John McCain was making, and he had just spent some time in Iraq during the Thanksgiving break meeting with U.S. forces there, was that the surge, he says, the military surge is working and that it would be a disaster if the U.S. were to pull out right now. I'll play a little clip of what he said after the debate.
Over in Iraq, the men and women who are serving know what's going on politically here, that they pay attention, and I tried to point out to Congressman Paul that they believe that they're winning, and they don't agree with his description of the motives for which we went to war in Iraq.
You want to respond to him, Congressman?
Well, yeah, we do disagree on this. I don't believe we went to the war for the right reason. I mean, there were no weapons of mass destruction. Had nothing to do with 9/11. So we were there for the wrong reason, and he doesn't understand the motivation for why they want to come here. It's not because, you know, we're wealthy and prosperous and free. They come here because we're in their country. And even if there is an improvement, which we all hope there is, We plan to keep 14 bases over there, a huge naval base, and we have this huge embassy. We have a permanent plan to stay there and take over these $30 trillion worth of oil in that region, and the people in those countries know that, And that's why they're very angry. And to deny that is folly. It just means that we have expanded the opportunity for the terrorists to come here because there's greater motivation. So I think we're in worse shape than ever before because there are more al-Qaeda than ever before. There was no al-Qaeda in Iraq before. Now they're all over the place, and their numbers are growing. So if we want to protect ourselves against terrorism, we have to understand what motivates them. Even Wolfowitz admitted this. He said that the base in Saudi Arabia was an instrumental part of what motivated Osama bin Laden. So if we ignore that, it's at our own folly.
I think a lot of voters out there will agree with you. The question, though, is this. Will a lot of Republican voters agree with you? Because when you made that point at the debate the other night about what Wolfowitz has said about the al-Qaeda operations and the U.S. bases that existed in Saudi Arabia before the war in Iraq, there were some boos that came out from that audience. So here's the question. Are you in step, Congressman, right now with Republican voters whom you need to win in Iowa, New Hampshire, and beyond?
Well, a poll showed that half the Republicans in Iowa are opposed to the war and would like to come home. The real control in New Hampshire, where I am right now, is by the independents, the group of people that won the election for McCain a few years ago. So I would say that since 70% of the American people want out of the war and they're tired of it, Republicans better pick somebody who's opposed to war or have a new foreign policy, or they can't win. And I think the whole sentiment is shifting. The people are sick and tired of the war. We can't even afford it. We can't even fight the war without borrowing the money from the Chinese. So it doesn't add up. It really doesn't matter whether I'm right or wrong. The war is going to end because we're going to have such a political and financial havoc here with the devaluation of our dollar because we just can't keep affording. This is usually how empires end, by spending too much money maintaining their empires. We're in 130 countries. We have 700 bases around the world, and it's going to come to an end. I want it to come to an end more gracefully and peacefully, follow the Constitution, and follow more sensible foreign policy.
You made a charge at the debate the other night in which you suggested that, in your words, millions of acres of eminent domain would be used to build a new international highway from Canada through the United States down to Mexico, suggesting that maybe there was a plan to create some sort of North American Union similar to the European Union, which is now being denied, obviously, by a lot of folks in Washington, including a spokesman for the Federal Highway Administration, saying on Thursday, saying there is no such superhighway like the one he's talking about. It doesn't exist in plans or anywhere else. On the basis of what, are you making that suggestion that there's plans underway someplace to build this kind of super international highway?
Well, look up the website Security for Prosperity and Peace, which is a government project, and they talk about the highway. Texas passed unanimously in both House and Senate a resolution to put it on hold. We have a bill in the Congress to stop all the funding for this particular highway, and I think we have over 50 co-sponsors of it, to be in denial of this, that this is not planned. They're not going to admit it. It's subtle. They say we're just proving highways. But how come they had a meeting in April of 2005 with the President of Mexico, United States, and Canada, and they talk about these things? So to be in denial is one thing. I mean, they do believe in globalism, much more so than most Americans. So I don't think there's any doubt about the plans. It's not going to happen tomorrow or the next day. But in time, this is likely to happen unless we have a shift in foreign policy.
I want to talk a little bit of politics in the brief time that we have left. The latest Des Moines Register poll in Iowa that's just out today, Congressman, has you at 7%, the same number as John McCain. Huckabee's at 29, ahead of Romney 24, Giuliani 13. As far as fundraising is concerned, though, and this is significant, in the last quarter that ended, you had raised $5 billion, but there's some suggestion in this final quarter of 2007 you could raise more money than any of the other Republican presidential candidates, given the enormous amount you've raised online. Is that your assessment right now? Because there's some suggestion you've already raised in this quarter, what, $8, $9 million?
No, that's not exactly right, because yesterday it went over 10.5 or 10.4 million. Our goal was to raise 12 by the end of the quarter. And there's going to be another super day sponsored by our supporters spontaneously, like they did on 11-5 when they raised 4.3, and they say this one's going to be bigger, and that's December 16th. So something big is going on. The people are really annoyed with conventional politics, and we're spending this money. We're spending it in Iowa. So I think those polls are going to continue to shift. Our numbers are going up, and people are just starting to think about how they're going to vote in these primaries. So who knows exactly what will happen, but we're pretty optimistic about the position we hold when we're going to be financed for February 5th as well.
Well, a quick point on that. So just to be precise, as of now, how much have you raised in this fourth and final quarter of 2007, and how much do you expect to raise by the time the quarter at the end of this year is already done with?
Well, I think it's 10.4. It's very close to that. I know it's over 10. Our goal was 12, and we have almost a month left, and we have a big day set. So we're going to be way over our goal of 12 million. And they can watch our website, and we run the tab minute by minute. Everybody knows exactly what we're doing. And, I mean, at this rate, it could be... maybe 14 or 15 million dollars. Really tells me that although I had a great deal of concerns about the country, the American people were equally concerned, and they're willing to put their money with a candidate who's willing to state these positions, all these concerns, whether it's the foreign policy and coming home or the irresponsible spending here, the terrible policy we have with monetary policy, the protection of our dollar, and the income tax system that is so unliked, and I want to not just revamp it, I want to get rid of it and not replace it with anything. People are ready for some changes.
Congressman Ron Paul, thanks very much for coming.
Good. So, interesting piece there. Basically, Wolf Blitzer used this as an opportunity to rebroadcast John McCain, to give plugs to John McCain, to give, you know, FaceTime for John McCain. He used an interview with Ron Paul to plug John McCain and also try to, you know, take down Congressman Paul with John McCain's comments. Now, the one thing that needs to be said is that when they attack you, that's one stop closer to winning. In the old maxim from Mahatma Gandhi, first they ignore you, then they laugh at you, then they fight you, and then you win. So we are definitely in the fight you stage. When John McCain out of nowhere takes a swipe at Ron Paul, and when Wolf Blitzer tries to use those swipes again in a subsequent interview with Congressman Paul. So I can think we could call that a positive sign. Of course, he started out by mentioning that Ron Paul is low in the polls, the so-called quote polls. Didn't mention that he's actually been moving up to 7% and 9% in various states. If we went back and looked at all the Wolf Blitzer interviews with Ron Paul, we would find that in absolutely every one of them, he has asked the same question. You're against the war in Iraq. Aren't you out of step with Republican voters? He's asked it every single time. I'm shocked that Ron Paul doesn't say, Wolf, I've already answered that question numerous times. Can you ask another question? Or just ignore the question and make whatever statement he'd like to make, because it's getting really ridiculous. Obviously, Wolf, if he didn't actually receive the memo, he may actually have written the memo on this. That in every interview, you make that point. See, he's not asking a question. What he's doing is making a point to the viewer that Ron Paul is, quote-unquote, out of step with Republican voters. Now, here's the thing. Ron Paul doesn't really care what people think, in the sense that he says what is true, regardless of what political expediency may dictate. Now, if he was concerned about political expediency, he might be waffling, he might be playing with the position and fine-tuning it in a way that could appeal to the most number of so-called, quote-unquote, Republican voters. Well, Ron Paul does not do that. Ron Paul says what he thinks, what he believes, and he stands on that. Now, I know, Wolf, that's really hard to believe and hard for you to stomach, but get used to it because that's the way it's going to be. The NAU Security Prosperity Partnership, of course, came up again. Another attempt to embarrass Congressman Paul around that issue. I didn't feel that Congressman Paul was prepared enough with a rebuttal and with some real good facts to sort of take down that argument. Suffice it to say, if you don't know about North American Union and the Security and Prosperity Partnership and the North American Superhighway, then you're terribly misinformed and you're living in a fantasy world in which these things do not happen. So, you know, I mean, all we really need is the facts to rebut that. And he, unfortunately, Congressman Paul didn't have that at his fingertips, something that maybe will improve in the future. But we do get a plug on the money issue with the anticipation that Congressman Paul will be the biggest fundraiser for this quarter. Congressman Paul throwing out an estimate of perhaps $12 to $14 million raised in the quarter. I think that might be on the low side, considering we're probably going to be raising about $10 to $12 million on the 16th of December on Boston Tea Party Day, which would take us into an area of $20 to $24 million. Somewhere between $20 and $24 million for the quarter seems likely. I think that we can say that $10 million is a lock for the December 16th fundraiser based on what I'm seeing on the street. Okay. Now, what we're going to do now is take the show into that theme, the Boston Tea Party and December 16th, and we're going to speak with Tom Moore, who is a Ron Paul organizer in Boston, and he's intimately involved in hooking up the thing, and I'm going to dial him right now and get Tom on the line.
Hello?
Hey there, Tom. This is Stephen Vincent from the Freedom Message.
We on the air?
We are on the air, so you can turn your radio off there.
And, it's already off.
All right.
Okay.
Good. Well, welcome to the show, and thanks for taking some time out of your very busy schedule to speak with us.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for starting this great idea of the Tea Party. And I got a message from Bob Dwyer. He says, tell Stephen if he can fill our hall, if he can take total credit for it.
No, it was just an idea. You know, we all get these brainstorms, and, you know, when I get them, I tend to act on them really quickly, especially when you know that there's only so much time. And, yeah, I got the brainstorm that, what it was for me was this. You know, it's going to be this day, a very exciting day, and I said, gosh, you know, we can't be sitting behind our computers alone, you know, watching the totals. We have to be out. That's an opportunity. That's a media opportunity, and it's a public relations opportunity, and it's an outreach opportunity to the public. And so that we, my thought was, we have to be out there somewhere where people can see us, and spread the joy and spread that energy and create an opportunity for the media to pick up on what's happening. My feeling is this, that, you know, let's say by 1 p.m. Pacific time, we're probably going to be somewhere around $5 or $7 million already raised on the day. And the media is going to be already buzzing about it, and they're going to want to have some footage of something to put up on the evening news to correlate with this fantastic fundraising effort. So let's create something that they can you know, take pictures of. And so I came up with the Santa Monica Tea Party. And we're going to be over there in Santa Monica at the pier doing a Tea Party reenactment. And then I just started spreading the idea across the country. You guys picked up on it. Now you've got a blimp flying over your city on Tea Party Day. Tell people about it.
Yes. I'm not so much involved with the blimp, but it does appear now that the blimp is a go. The New England Patriots, our undefeated football team, are going to be playing in Foxborough. To a crowd of, I think, like 75,000 people. So the blimp is going to pass right by there, right by all those TV cameras. You wonder if during the football game if they'll look up and, you know, of course they're thinking it's going to be the football blimp that covers the game, and lo and behold, it's Ron Paul.
Fantastic. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
But, in addition to that, Stephen, we were able to procure Faneuil Hall. Now, for those out there that don't know this, Faneuil Hall Marketplace, this is where the revolution started. The building itself is known as the Cradle of Liberty. Most people know Boston as the Cradle of Liberty. Well, this actual building where we're going to be speaking is called the Cradle of Liberty. It's where they first said, no taxation without representation. It's where the Tea Party was actually planned. Now, they didn't leave from there on the Tea Party day. They left from the Old South Meeting House. And after we get done with our speakers and music, then we're going to go over to the Tea Party reenactment. So you get all that patriotism. It's absolutely free to the public. You know that song, Please Come to Boston?
Uh-huh.
Anybody that can make it out there. This is our reward. Hopefully everybody will give at least $100, but, you know, this is our way of giving something back.
Absolutely. Well, that's exciting. And I understand that Rand Paul is going to be one of your speakers. Am I correct on that?
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I was actually up. I saw Ron Paul speak in Salem, New Hampshire, and it looks like we were on C-SPAN. My mom called me up. I haven't seen her in a while. And she said, son, you got to lose some weight. I didn't even know it was going to be on there, but... So when they had the questions, I stood up and I said, Dr. Paul, I said, we're so honored to have your son, Rand Paul, speak at Faneuil Hall December 16th, the Boston Tea Party. But, you know, we'd like to make it a father and son event. And he didn't really say no directly. He's going to, I think he's supposed to be in Iowa, but there is a chance he may be there. So.
All right. Well, that'd be exciting. I wouldn't be surprised if he did come down for that. It sounds like... something that he would really enjoy being a part of, really, truly, sort of history remaking itself again.
Absolutely. He's the foremost patriot now, just like they were back then. Absolutely.
Yep. And
that's why people are, you know, when I actually talked to the Wall Street Journal and Salon Media after Ron Paul spoke in New Hampshire, they don't get it. They don't understand how people like us are out here, exclusive of the campaign, donating our dollars, our energy, to try and get this guy elected. Everybody else, they have to pay to do this, you see, and then they don't do it very well when they do it. So the media is still trying to get it, and that's the story right now. So we're trying to attract media to the event so they can understand why Ron Paul is so great.
Yeah, it's the stuff that revolutions are made out of, and I'm just seeing it, like, on the street.
Yeah.
When this past weekend we did a Ron Paul walk down Ventura Boulevard, which is the main drag here in the San Fernando Valley of Los Angeles, we had about 15 people, and we walked down with our signs, and I mean the honks of support were absolutely nonstop the entire way. We had people coming out of their offices and out of their shops and with their fists raised in the air and going, Ron Paul!
Really?
You know?
That's fantastic.
And I'm telling
unbelievable.
A couple of waiters came out from the restaurant in their waiter, you know, garb, and they were literally applauding. They were literally applauding, clapping for us. We got about 25 people on our email list. We distributed about 12 bumper stickers. I ran out. I had people asking for bumper stickers that I couldn't. I ran out. People pulling over asking for bumper stickers. It was just an amazing. And it's like that, you know, when we do these things now. I drive my car around. It has Ron Paul all over it. I get honks all the time. I get people stopping me to talk to me. I mean, something's really happening here that is simply not getting measured in these so-called polls. And I think probably why it's not being measured in these polls is that a lot of the people that are supporting Ron Paul were simply non-voters before, you know.
Yes.
And that would be me, you know, for example, you know.
What's actually good about, at least the state of New Hampshire is, You don't have to go and register a Republican a month ahead of time. You can show up as an independent voter and vote in the Republic. Choose what primary you're going to vote in right there and then.
Okay.
And, of course, you know, we're trying to get as many voters out there as possible. Speaking to your audience, what we can do now, our website is freedomrally12-16.org. Freedom, RALLY, the number 12-16.org. And then So we want as many people as can from around the country to come and really enjoy this. There's going to be a march from the Boston. There's going to be a speech on the Boston Common, a march from the Boston right along the Freedom Trail, around all the historic sites and into Faneuil Hall. My band, Midnight Ride. I want to tell you a little bit about Midnight Ride. You said it was a pseudonym. Really, it's more like a pen name. What we wanted to do is, yes, our band has another name. Yes, our band has another website. But for Ron Paul, we wanted to create an exclusive website just for Dr. Paul on MySpace, and we did that. And that's if you go to Midnight Ride 2008, and that's at MySpace, we created a website with political humor, cartoons, YouTube clips, great friends, the best friends we could find of Ron Paul on the Internet, including his family members, mm-hmm. and we wrote an anthem for him. So we wanted it to be all about Ron, not about our band, and that's why we wanted to think of a cool name for the band when we perform the anthem. And that's what we're going to be performing as in Faneuil Hall is Midnight Ride. I'm not even going to say the other name of our band because that's how much I just want to support Ron Paul.
Great. So you are performing at the in Faneuil Hall. Wow. Midnight live in Faneuil Hall. That is fantastic.
We're actually trying to beef up a little bit. So if anybody around New England, we're trying to beef up with some horns. So if anybody plays either sax or trombone or trumpet, drop me an email at trmore, that's M-O-O-R, at hotmail.com, because we'd like to have a nice horn section in there for the anthem to really get it hammered. So
beautiful. Beautiful. What's that website again?
Okay, it's Freedom Rally, R-A-L-L-Y, 12-16, those are numbers, .org.
Okay, I'm going to put that up on the screen for people right now.
And we are also linked to teaparty07.com, and we see right now that there's about 25,000 commitments. That's one-fourth of the way. So everybody right now, please, if you haven't pledged for $100, just go in there, type your email address in, and just pledge that $100. And somehow God will find that $100 for you, believe mm-hmm. me. You know, there's Christmas presents, and then there's the Constitution, which
right.
is the greatest Christmas present. It guards everything we own or say or do.
Our freedom is going to be our biggest gift that we can give to ourselves. And we can give it to ourselves. We can't, you know, it can't be given to us, can't be bestowed upon us.
Yep.
You know, we have to give it to ourselves as our own gift. One thing I noticed last time around on the 5th of November was that the sign-ups on the site sort of picked up maybe a week or 2 weeks beforehand. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm sure they'll start accelerating right now. And I also noticed that we doubled the number of contributions in relationship to the number of sign-ups. So,
yep.
you know, if we get up to, say, 50,000
mm-hmm.
Sign-ups, which I think is doable, then we're probably going to double that, which puts us at the $10 million mark, and it seems to me very doable. I'm pretty optimistic
yeah.
that we're going to do the $10 million on that day.
Okay, for everybody that's thinking, okay, I'll give a little now, and then I'll give a little after the new year. No, all the Russia primaries is coming, so all that money has to be there ahead of time, so he can buy those ads in all the states that he needs to. So what money you have, give it on the 16th, you know, so he's got it in the bank to do what he's got to do. What I'm going to do, when I do the historical, I'm also giving the historical oration. I'm going to speak about another Dr. Patriot, Dr. Warren, who took a stand at Bunker Hill. And they had the patriotism, they had the spirit, they had the organization, they had the discipline. One thing they did not have was the ammunition. So they ran out of ammo, and the hill was taken. Now, we got to give Dr. Paul all the ammunition he needs.
Absolutely, absolutely. No question about it. And, you know, it's really happening. This is a real thing. Oh, another idea that something you might want to throw into the mix there, something we're going to plan on doing in Santa Monica on the 16th, is we're going to have at least one laptop, or it may be more, you know, wirelessly connected to the Internet, so that at our ceremony, if anybody wants to make a contribution on the spot, all they need to do is step up to the laptop, click, 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 drop in their numbers, hit the send button, and make a contribution right there on the spot. So
that's fantastic. We are going to have the New Hampshire campaign. Norman Tregenza is going to be there. Anybody that shows up that wants to give a little more, right there will be able to do that. The Granny Warriors are going to be there with the Winnebago of Freedom. And I guess they have a monkey now, and I don't know if the monkey's name is Rudy or not, but they do have a monkey.
Yeah, they've had the monkey for a while. Yeah, he's part of the team. Yeah, he's definitely on the team. No question. We're also planning something new that's happened. We're also going to be having an actual Tea Party celebration following our Tea Party reenactment. So at a real party, I mean like a party, you know, it's going to be our combined Ron Paul Southern California holiday party and Tea Party celebration. And we're considering a couple of different locations. It'll probably be a bar restaurant somewhere in the Santa Monica area immediately following. And we're going to have a big screen projection of the totals as they come in off the website so that we can watch it like it's the Super Bowl, you know, watching that as we kick back a few and just celebrate and enjoy each other's company. And also hopefully creating yet another media opportunity because, you know, I'm thinking they're going to be looking for something to put up on the television screen when the news of the money coming in, hits the wires. And they might even come down to our party and you know, kind of come in and say, hey, here we are in Santa Monica with a room packed of 250 very, very enthusiastic Ron Paul supporters, you know, and, you know, get some shots of that. And we're going to have some live music. We've already got at least one band that's committed to play. It's just going to be a good time, so... That's what we're planning here to really make it a whole big day of celebrating and outreach for Ron Paul.
That's fantastic. Well, coming off of that idea, you know, Boston, MIT, we're known for our computer geeks here, so we are going to make every effort to have a video uplink onto the website I gave you, the freedomrally1216.org, and as well as that, Faneuil Hall is right in the heart of the best, you know, bars, entertainment in Boston. So anybody comes to Boston is in for a really, really good time. You get a lot of history, a lot of Ron Paul, and a lot of fun.
Absolutely. I remember the days, in Boston, know Faneuil Hall and Quincy Market pretty well. So I'm sure you're going to have quite a day there.
Thanks for promoting us, and we're going to go ahead. We'll promote you too. You guys have a. What's your link to your tea party? And we'll make sure that you're on our links.
Yeah. Please do. It's you'd have to go to ronpaul.meetup.com/506/506.
You guys are 506. Okay.
Yeah, that's the Southern California group. It's kind of like a catch-all group for the whole Southern California region. And if you just go to the calendar, you'll find the posting there, and you can link to that.
That's great. Are you guys going to create a website for your event, maybe?
We haven't yet. Probably not. You know what I was thinking? Because actually what's happened is people across the country have picked up on this idea, and they're having their own Tea Party celebrations in different ways. You know, nobody's doing the exact same thing. You know, everyone's doing it in a little different way. But I've gotten something from Nashville, from Sacramento, California, from San Francisco. There's some other places that I just can't remember right now. But I know that it's starting to pop up all over. I think it would probably be a good idea. Maybe you could turn your FreedomRally1216.org site into a listing of all the different places that are doing activities on that day.
Okay, yeah, listings and links. Okay, I'll definitely. We're meeting up again on Friday. So anybody that's doing that, please send it in to trmoore@hotmail.com. My last name is spelled M-O-O-R without an E, and we'll get you linked up there.
Okay, yeah, do that. I think that's a good idea. If people start to see that there's people all over the country that are doing celebrations and reenactments on that day, then more people will pick up on it, and maybe we'll turn it into a real tidal wave. I also heard that I saw an email or something today that there's a movement going afoot for people to be doing canvassings on that day, which I think is a stellar idea, too. Anything basically that puts you in contact with people on that day, because it's going to be the talk. You know,
yes.
The word is going around. People, you can have a situation where somebody is sitting at home and they're watching the TV, and there was a little bit of news that came on about, you know, Ron Paul has raised, you know, $8 million so far today, with and expects to raise even more as the day's only half over. And then all of a sudden it's knock, knock, knock on the door. They get up off their chair, they open the door, and it's a Ron Paul supporter. And imagine the impact of that, you know?
Absolutely. Let's all get out there and redouble our efforts and get Dr. Paul the full $10 million. $10 million, that's a lot of glue. Nobody will be able to ignore $10 million, and that'll be the talk, you know, right through Christmas time is, you know, and hasn't Dr. Paul really stepped up for us in those debates? My God, that hard question about NAFTA and the CFR, just looked right, and here he's got three opponents on the CFR right there, and Rudy Giuliani is making all that money promoting Centra that's ramming that highway through Texas. Rudy's law firm is representing a foreign country that is ramming highways through our country, and Dr. Paul called him on it. He didn't dodge that question at all.
You know,
so when you have a guy like that that stands up to the tough questions, that stands up to the bullies, we got to go out there and get him that 10 mil.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know.
Thanks so much, Stephen. I appreciate that. And I got to kind of get going here.
All right.
I'll definitely, anybody wants to send me their links, trmoore@hotmail.com, M-O-O-R. We'll get them up there, and let's get it done for Ron Paul.
All right. Thanks so much, Tom. We're
going
to close up the show with your song later on. Okay, there was Tom Moore from the Boston Ron Paul meetup. And the website address again, freedomrally12-16.org. And some really exciting stuff happening. Now, wanted to update you on the Message of Freedom campaign, a.k.a. Call for Paul, Operation Call for Paul. Both are basically the same project. This is the project to use an automated dialing system. It's really called voice broadcasting to reach literally millions and millions of Americans. It's fast. We can reach hundreds of thousands of people simultaneously. It's cheap and it's effective. And we're doing that, in about 15 minutes we're going to be calling probably about 200,000 people in Michigan. And we need your support. We need your contributions. And you can find the links to the chip-ins for this at ronpaulfreedommessage.com. You look for the Message of Freedom campaign on the upper right-hand corner, ronpaulfreedommessage.com, and look for Message of Freedom, and you'll check it out. And see what we're doing. And this is an incredible, incredible opportunity for us to reach literally millions and millions of people for very little money and highly effectively. So it's fast, cheap, and good. And they say that you can't have all three at the same time. And in this case, we can. And that is what we need, because we need fast. We ain't got a lot of time. We need cheap because we ain't got a lot of money, but, you know, I mean, we have more money than we thought we had. We need good because it's got to be effective. So fast, cheap, and good, the Message of Freedom campaign is going on. We also added a new feature recently. Now, the technology for the Message of Freedom campaign, the voice broadcasting, is being supplied by a Ron Paul supporter, and another Ron Paul supporter has stepped up to offer an automated mailing system, so that when we do connect with somebody with Message of Freedom, the way it works is this: you have the option as the recipient of the call to press 1 to speak with a live Ron Paul supporter volunteer. If you choose to press 1, you can speak with that person. Then that volunteer will find out what kind of information you want to receive. And then with this automated system that yet another Ron Paul supporter is providing, they will be able to, with a click of a button, type in your address and send you the information that you need. And it will be automatically printed, stuffed, mailed out, stamped and mailed out automatically. So a real cost and time saver, and an amazing, amazing marriage of the technologies that our Ron Paul supporters are bringing to us. Absolutely incredible what we can do, what we have at our disposal. And so please help us take full advantage of this by donating as much as you can to the Message of Freedom campaign / Operation Call for Paul. What else? There is so much going on. This came out about the Ron Paul straw poll corruption. Let me play, there's two clips here. I'll play the longer one for you tomorrow. Play the shorter one here to give you an idea about how Mitt Romney basically bought the Florida straw poll before the debate the other day. He purchased tickets and gave them to his supporters. They voted 10, 20, 30 times. And they had a handful of supporters and registered something like 800 votes by voting over and over and over again. And let's go ahead and just to check this out. This is just really an incredible sham.
As Ron Paul supporters, we've been accused of internet spamming, but actually here, the Mitt Romney supporters are spamming the American voting process. There have been several people that have come through the line with many tickets, 10 in some cases, 20 or 30, one woman even had 40 tickets, people coming through the line voting card after card after card after card for Mitt Romney. Romney's just buying the straw poll.
I stood there at the polling place at the Florida straw poll here on beautiful Tampa Bay and watched Romney supporters vote time after time. They would go up there and hand in fistfuls of tickets, get fistfuls of cards, and they would stand there voting over and over and over again. We